Can the entire genre of trap get a nomination for Audio Face as Worst Songs of the Year?
I don't think you can give an entire genre.
I'm for my podcast. I'm gonna give an entire genre. I'm gonna give. You know what? We're gonna make this Sean Suarez Redo Your Life Award. Make it to the genre of trap.
We never had that is trap the pop of 2018 conversation. But I think the answer is yes.
Want to talk about it. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, episode 70. I am John.
I am Dan.
And this is a irreverent podcast about music news, music culture, and all the landmines that we're about to hit. Talk about different themes. So we have three albums this week. We have Huevos Rancheros, also known as Quavo.
From Migos.
Quavo Huncho.
He has a solo album out.
Young the Giant's new album, Mirror Master. And then our curveball of the week, Calvin Johnson, A Wonderful Beast.
The beast is quite wonderful, and the ball is quite curved. Let's go straight into the goods, though. We have some funny news of this week.
No singles.
Yeah, no singles of this week, but we do have funny news. Take it away, Sean.
Oh, God. Okay, so Lil Xan.
One of the littles.
One of the littles. Lil insert here. Apparently his concert was canceled after a man threatens him with an AK. So this
dude is like a, I almost use names, that's bad. He's like a, not too, okay, he looks like an incel. He's wearing a Harvard shirt, and he has these, like, sweats.
He has Gucci flip-flops.
Yeah, and he has an AK-47 in his pocket, and then two on his side. How about those gun laws, America? Anyways,
he's shooting it into the lake, saying, Lil Xan, I come for you, where's you? Shit like that.
Yeah, he had this video
English
on TMZ.
Is irrelevant, apparently, to most people.
Yeah, Lil Xan canceled that concert over security concerns in St. Louis, Missouri.
Does Lil Xan get the Note of a Little Bitch Award for? Because if you're acting hard, you gotta face hard. You know,
that's,
like Tupac got shot. You know, how many rappers got shot at? That's the name of the game. That's what you're in.
That's true. I mean,
does he get the Note of a Little Bitch Award just because some incel white boy shoots in a lake?
Wow.
If you're coming in, pack heat, Xan. Like I would fucking come into the Glock in my pocket and be like, fuck it. I'm from Long Beach.
That, all right. All right, Sean.
If you go
you know
in certain areas, you gotta carry heat.
Great argument, Sean. Excellent debate. Sean destroys Lil Xan. And dips out of the bait because he's a little bitch. We should put Ben Shapiro on this list, too. Anyways.
Can I put lobsters on there?
No, that was a great argument. Also, we are getting near the end of the year, so we are going to start soon having to think of our considerations for the Audio Face Awards.
Oh, we're gonna have one time of the year.
We're going to have one episode in December called the Court Packing episode. I'm already planning it. It's going to be great. Where we're just going to rapidly, in order to be in the Audio Face Awards, you have to have mentioned the album during the podcast. And so we're going to loophole that and talk about any albums we didn't talk about during the year, but that we may want to mention the Audio Face Awards.
Yeah, so it'll be some next episodes. We'll probably just like sprinkle them in throughout the year when it's quieter time. Right now it's kind of crazy, but next couple of weeks there won't be any stupidly big releases. In November we have some. So
yeah, there's going to be a lull 2 weeks from now, which might
lull
work to
the
do
Radiohead
that.
Song.
Lol is what is my reaction to Three Doors Down's bassist getting thrown in Le Clink
again.
He had previously spent 2 years, I didn't know this, for vehicular homicide.
Oh shit.
He was charged with simple assault, ooh, felony weapon possession, and drug possession.
Apparently he struck, he hit his wife.
Jeez.
He subsequently charged with simple assault, felony weapon possession, and drug possession.
In 2014, he was arrested again and charged with a DUI. So this
How
is
many
clearly,
white beaters listen to Three Doors Down?
This is clearly like an out-of-control redneck. Please leash your rednecks, people.
This is already falling apart. And now we're about to review Quavo.
And now, because we have so expertly skirted racial tension earlier in
Talk
this podcast.
Talk about skirts.
Skirt, 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 skirt. Quavo, one of the Migos. If you don't know which one, that's fine. He released an album that is 19 songs long and an hour and 6 minutes called Quavo Huncho. We've been talking about, not we, because we talk about the music that actually matters, but
you mentioned.
The music world has been talking about, oh, when are the Migos going to split up and do a solo project? And it doesn't seem like it's happening. I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact that these three family members are all splitting up each other's money. But nevertheless, this is Quavo's solo album. It's 19 songs long. Sean, what's your first take? What are your thoughts? How far did you make it through the album?
I made it through about two songs.
Great work.
Because the second song, Pass Out, is on my short list for worst song of the year.
With 21 Savage.
With 21 Savage. It wasn't 21 Savage, unless 21 Savage is the one who yelled skirt for about 13 seconds.
21 Savage, couldn't 21 Savage the song?
Nope. He couldn't. It's not like a Travis Scott album where, since that one feature, Jesus, where he said, I'm so rich, I St. Laurent my dogs now. Yeah. I sounded really white there, but whatever.
Yeah, you really did.
That saved the album, kind of, because it's a funny ass line. This is just dog shit.
I want to point out that when we listen to Rerun,
and
this is my first time listening to Rerun, by the way, Sean and I were listening to it in a room on speakers, and not gay, and we I played that song, and I said, it's lit! 4 seconds into the song. 6 seconds of the song, Travis Scott goes, it's lit. Oh, he goes, yeah, yeah. Or does that thing. And it was just very incredibly predictable. And I'm really not surprised, but also just like disappointed.
It's just stupid. It's bad. It's terrible. I hate trap again. Literally, I hate trap again because I gave it a try, you know, Without Warning came out last year. And Issa album came out last year, and those were, I'm like, okay, I could see where I can listen to this and be fine. And then Migos dropped their album this year of 8 hours, and then this came out, and everything else throughout the year, and it's just, I'm sick of it. This is terrible. Two songs in, I'm like, it's gonna sound the same. I put on a random song halfway through, and it sounds the same.
Yeah,
we put on Rerun. And he did the stupid trap tags that he's always done, and it's just, all right, it's over. It's over. It's done. Stop. Stop moving the cow. The cow is deceased with udders that are, like, ash.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, gray and shriveled up.
Oh, but never mind.
I was going to make a comment about Margaret Thatcher, but I'm going to stop.
Anyways. Oh, my God. Okay.
The album ranking for today is going to be... grave robbing related. No, the album aren't the way we're going to rank albums because all album rankings are arbitrary.
You know, how about let's go
shooting? I-Planes.
Okay, I was gonna say Shootings in North Long Beach, but
no, I-Planes.
I-Planes,
that's more relevant. So, remember when Kanye West went to the White House and showed Donald Trump his idea for an I-Plane, because, you know, the president's got to look fly. I'm going to be doing Sean a favor, and we're not going to be talking about Kanye West at all
during
this
episode.
Due to the
terms of my parole, I cannot comment on Kanye West.
However, there is a whole bonus episode that I'm going to be releasing very shortly after this episode, where I talk to one of my good friends, Annie. I've made videos with her. We talked a lot about Kanye West. She has a lot of Kanye West, like, knowledge and experience, and we're kind of just unpacking this... difficult time for people who used to like his music, and hilarious time for people like Sean and I who are just like reject false icons. This is one decommissioned 737.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna say it's if you go to Chino Airport and you see all of the former there. Military planes that are all deconstructed and stuff that are rotting in a graveyard. That's what this album is.
Yeah. this is it's forgettable. Oh, I will say this. There are a lot of features on this album. All of the features are better than Quavo.
Oh, literally, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. 100%. Minus Travis Scott.
Yeah, and Takeoff and Offset's like I could really kind of go without regardless, but all of the songs that are worth listening to here are basically worth listening because...
You get to their part and you're like, okay, like Cardi B's part. It's like, okay.
Even the Drake song, which is basically like... Take Heath was like, okay, I'll give you Nonstop, but not give you Nonstop. So here's the
Drake
same beat.
Just basically did this, yeah.
Yeah.
He just took over the song.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Even that is better than just Quavo shit. It is so bad. literally don't listen to it. And we're not the only ones seeing it this time.
Yeah. Finally. The world's finally coming around to us.
That's what I'm saying. It's ending.
I saw a really great tweet that said, Quavo doesn't have an album's worth of shit to talk about.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
Pretty good point. Someone made a big mistake. We like to play No Chill Island on this podcast where we like figure out what you can and can say politically correctness-wise. Deadmau5 way crossed the line here.
Deadmau5 has had no chill since he started.
But and he's been on this warpath on like certain artists.
Well, in certain parts of EDM that he vehemently hates, which I vehemently hate too, because we agree that it's not doing the genre any good, and it's just, it's like trap where it's the same, it's overhyped, and it's just feels like we're putting a screwdriver in our head. And that's why he started, so I'll give you a little backstory. He also started his own label a while ago for that reason, to pump up new artists and stuff like we've talked about before. Rez is on his label. Feed Me's on his label and stuff like that. You have Eddie as well, trying to get younger artists and stuff up through it that make great music. And I mean, then there's him where he's just vocal and goes mental on his warpaths, and he's been doing that for years. And oops, he went a little too crazy. So
you should be careful with your words.
He
went like off the rails for sure, yeah, as far as his rhetoric. So he was doing a game live stream where he was apparently listening to music from Slushy, who was an EDM artist.
He was listening to it. Oh no.
Yes, and I'm going to just directly quote what he said. He described Slushy's music. He's like a popular EDM artist. He collaborates with Marshmello a lot, and he's the kind of like hypey typey EDM artist that we kind of would, very predictable artist that we would kind of discredit. Nevertheless, he described the song as, quote, AIDS music, and calls the track that he was playing, quote, seriously autistic shit. Which is, yeah, AIDS music has definitely gotten people kicked off of networks before, and seriously autistic shit is just needlessly kind of offensive for people who are on the spectrum in that kind of way. So Slushy tweeted back by saying, as someone who is actually on the autism spectrum, this is really disappointing.
So bad.
To which, oh, by the way, this all happened on World Mental Health Day.
Oh, yes.
So, oh, Deadmau5 just stepped in shit.
He stepped in, like, he, like, stepped in shit and flew backwards.
Yeah, oops. Deadmau5 just, like, landed in a backyard full of rakes that were just on the ground. And there's nothing he could do but step on every single one on his way to Twitter. So, Deadmau5 released a statement that basically said that it's been a difficult period for him. He says he sincerely apologizes for the comments. I wanted to fix that, because usually when you say this has been a difficult period for him, it's like, there's no sympathy for you because you said what you said. Like, you gotta put up or shut up. You can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. But he sincerely apologizes. He thinks it's time to deal with his own personal issues, and he talks about what Sean described earlier, how he wanted to start a label so that young artists could feel inspired and have like a way up to do the art they create, and something that, I mean, broadly speaking, Deadmau5 and Slushy are in the same genre, so it's the same kind of issue with age and the new school versus the old school that rap and trap is kind of having in a way. But he said that regardless of that, that's what he's tried to do, and this is not in the like mode of that, so he's going to seek professional help and kind of go off the grid for a little bit.
Which works. If you've known Deadmau5 stuff, you can tell he's always had, I wouldn't say anger problems, but he's had demons and stuff that he's had his entire life. So
I mean,
I'm a big fan of Deadmau5, so I've been following him since 09 maybe or so.
Yeah, Deadmau5, love his music.
Like his coffee runs and all this stuff. So I've seen a lot of, in a couple of his streams and whatnot, especially early on, because he's big into Minecraft when no one was big into it. So right. I watched a lot of that stuff. So you can tell just by the way he speaks and everything and what he would talk about during those streams. You're like, okay, going through some shit. And then that's not the proper, you don't want to lash out at people and say stupid shit.
Regardless of what you're going through, it's not an excuse to lash out at other people or act in that way. It provides certain context, so maybe it's like less unreasonable than just a completely unwarranted random incident, so maybe you understand some context behind that, but still like no excuse for it. Nevertheless, Deadmau5 seems to be apologizing and kind of trying to make right by that and take the personal responsibility to do what needs to be done regardless of that. So I hope the best for him on that front, and hopefully Slushy's kind of able to move on from this in his own way as well.
Make new music, Deadmau5.
Vic Mensa is getting a woke award. Not getting a woke award, but he's nominated.
Oh, yes.
So
much yes.
Vic Mensa called out XXXTentacion at the BET Awards, doing a freestyle in which part of the lyrics were "your favorite rapper is an abuser" in front of his mom.
That's what we've been saying.
And then there's one artist who, or DJ, whatever you want to call him, who worked a lot with XXXTentacion and Ski Mask the Slump God, who was basically tweeting that, "Oh, Vic Mensa sucked my dick. This is disgusting. I can't believe that you can say something like this." Basically, Bad Vibes is upset because Vic Mensa is telling the truth. And Vic Mensa apologized by saying, "I don't apologize for a single thing I said because XXXTentacion is an abuser and you all worship him and it's ridiculous. But I do think that it's in bad taste that his mom was in the audience and I didn't know that and I feel bad about that." Which I think is like, when I first saw the apology, I'm like, am I gonna schmacky schmiggle helicopter that woke award? But he said, no, I'm not gonna walk back my statements. If anything, I will double down on them at any time and any place. And he has since on Twitter continued to say, believe women, believe survivors. So he's doubling down. He's just saying, okay, some people could read the, like, doing that freestyle in front of his mom as, like, a little bit over the line. I didn't know his mom was there. I feel somewhat bad for that. Which I think is...
I mean, he's...
Yeah.
Okay, Kat. Yeah, I mean, we knew last year, or at least talked about it earlier this year, where he was, XXXTentacion was charged with beating up his pregnant goddamn girlfriend.
Right. before beer and boofing from Kavanaugh, there was forking.
I haven't seen forking forever. He said just, and then I love how Vic Mensa just put hashtag believe women.
Yeah, like that's his doubling down. And so that's like 35 billion Vince credits for that.
He gets really a work. Hell of Vince credits for that. That's you get on the short list now for the...
In fact, I mean, this is bad, but I'm not wholly offended that his mother was in attendance. Because, like, okay.
If my mom knew about that shit, she'd take out my dead body and piss on it.
Furthermore, by XXXTentacion's, like, own retelling, like, okay, this is gonna, like, I understand this is a bad hill to die on, and I'm gonna lose even more support by saying, like, oh, why are you talking about his mom? Why is his mom bringing
don't talk about
this?
My mom's, yo.
Which, right, but, like, it's XXXTentacion's even admission that his mom was abusive to him. And so that's a cycle of abuse that's going on. I'm not saying that justifies it. I'm not saying that justifies being mean to XXXTentacion or XXXTentacion's mom. You shouldn't do that. Being mean to people is what XXXTentacion and his followers love to do. You want to be against that. That being said, I'm against, like, fake civility or showing civility towards people who are incivil. And so, no, I'm not going to bend over backwards to apologize or make sure XXXTentacion's mom feels okay just because that looks bad to some people who are glorifying a sexual abuser. Like, I'm not going to bend over backwards to make sure that people who glorify sexual assault are not offended. Fuck them. They can go die. They can get trichinosis. Let's talk about the next story.
Okay, we have enough to review. You may need to edit that.
I'm not going to edit that out. I stand by that statement 100%.
Okay. So, Young the Giant. Mirror Master. Young the Giant. Famous for making Song Cough Syrup and a couple other banger hits in the early 2010s. They made a new album, Mirror Master, 12 songs, 44 minutes long. I'll go first,
yeah.
Because I don't trust this guy right now.
I need a cool off period.
You do need a cool off period. Shit, I'm the one who thought I was walking into grenades, apparently not. Anyways, okay.
So you're talking about the album.
Yeah, sorry. I lost my train of thought. Starts off quite well, Superposition, the first song, and it kind of keeps that theme through the entire album of actual alternative rock, stuff that we haven't heard much in 2018, and that's, you know, I've been on a warp path since the start of Audio Face, of a lot of alternative rock bands and stuff going with the stupid trap snare scene, going more electronic and not doing justice to music, The biggest one is Foster the People, which I was the most disappointed on. Weezer's was shit as well. I mean, there's a whole long list of bands. But Young the Giant did not do that. They strayed away from the normalities of selling out, doing the Coldplay.
Not a trap singer to be found.
Nope. And the entire album, you could feel there is a definite theme to the album. Every song kind of connected with each other. When there's a slow song, then a faster song would pick up after it. But it wasn't, nothing was pulling or tugging along. It was really flowed nicely. So I wish more people would listen to it, actually. I don't think there wasn't big hoopla or anything about Young the Giant coming off an album. When I heard about it, I go, oh shit, really?
I would not have known this album would come out if you didn't mention it.
Yeah, so I very enjoyed it. I like Call Me Back, Heat of the Summer, Oblivion, and was it Panoramic Girl, I believe? Panoramic Girl or Tightrope? Those were kind of my favorite songs on the album. Definitely going to be listening to this a lot more. I want to listen to it a couple times through and kind of pick songs that I like from it and put them on my playlists. So it's quite good. Almost like a throwback to, hey, this is the stuff I fell in love with alternative rock, and it's good. It didn't feel dated. At first I thought, when I listened to this, I'm like, is this going to feel dated? But it wasn't. It didn't, they didn't throw themselves back, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like, we've talked about before, their albums have a fine line between doing a callback to a previous era or a time at which the artist was doing work at another time, usually more than 5 years beforehand. And sometimes that sounds bad and outdone, and sometimes you do it a decade beforehand and then you're just an uncle rapper. But in this case, it was more just a callback, but a slight evolution. This is one of those albums that's kind of interesting. It's going to take me a couple more listens to really enjoy it, but I can already tell it's a couple more listens album at least, because I liked the middle of it a lot.
Yeah,
and between definitely. Like
Heat of the Summer,
maybe Heat of the Summer or Oblivion, down to Brother's Keeper or Glory.
Yeah, those four songs are pretty good.
It's like song four or five to song eight, ish.
Yeah, about there. That's what I said too. Especially Oblivion's a good song. Oblivion's a really, really good song. So it's nice to see that again from alternative rock. We've been missing that a lot. I mean, there have been some very strong, solid albums so far. Like MGMT is definitely on my shortlist for like album of the year.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's good. So it's great to see one of my favorite artists come on and make good stuff. So just gets me pumped up for the rest of the year, because we got a couple more that are coming out.
Yeah, there might be a couple, just might get in there for some Audio Face Awards. There's usually some autumn surprises, but
1975 definitely is in my radar.
What are some other things I wanted to say about this album? I'm sort of like looking at the track list right now. I think the things about this album that I didn't like were mainly, and this is going to be a bit of a theme with the next album review too, is that the vocals are a little bit distracting from the rest of it.
On the slow stuff, I would
agree. On the slow songs especially.
Darkest Shade of Blue is the song that I'm thinking of, where it was kind of an ethereal song, and it was just trying to do like a cigarose tone, but if you don't have Yonzi's voice, it doesn't work well. And that was one of the, I had the same scene too, where I'm like, okay, it's okay song, but it flows with the album.
Yeah.
It's not a good song by itself. It's good in the album.
Yes.
So that's a song that I'd have to put in between Oblivion and Brother's Keeper to really not make it just be a fish out of water.
Yeah.
It sounds great when it's in with the theme of the album. Yeah.
And there's absolutely artistry to constructing the album together.
Definitely. Like so like that's big props to that. Big props to that.
I would give them like one Eyeplane.
I would give them a solid rebuilt Falk Wolf 190.
You're going way too deep.
Okay, way too deep?
Yeah, just give us Eyeplanes.
Eyeplanes? Okay, fine. I guess one Eyeplane. Don't want to give Kanye any credit, so...
I mean, it's not giving Kanye any credit. You're giving the college student credit who made that solar-powered plane.
I give it one solar-powered plane.
Okay, you get one artist rendition of a solar-powered plane.
Yes.
Let's see if we can talk about this really quickly before we go to break, because this is a fun thing. I mean, we've talked about the concept ad nauseum, but this is just the latest insert in that. Amy Winehouse is doing a hologram tour.
It's a worldwide tour.
A worldwide hologram tour.
I just... No. I don't like this stuff. It's strange to me.
Mitch Winehouse, who is... Her father, which is a very interesting kind of way I think about it, honestly. Because when it comes down to who consents to having their likeness as a hologram post-mortem, that's an interesting conversation. And that's where kind of
Sean and I talked about that a while ago.
Yeah, that's where Sean and I get uncomfortable with these things. But it's supposed to perform for 75 to 110 minutes and raise awareness for the Amy Winehouse Foundation, which is a charity teaching people about going drug and alcohol misuse and providing support for people at risk and presumably going to rehab and saying yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Because of the song.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Just wanted to make a humor. Do you have any last thoughts on this?
Holograms are still strange to me. I think they will forever be strange to me. I mean, I like the concept and everything. You can hear our opinions on it. I don't remember what episode exactly it was, but we've definitely talked about it a lot.
Yeah, we've talked about it many times.
Previously in the year, so, I mean, feel like I'm a broken record. Yeah, exactly. So, still strange to me. I like that they're bringing up the foundation, so that's cool.
Yeah. We will be right back. The rest of this will just be audio only, but we're going to talk about a really, really fun album. An interesting album, Calvin Johnson's Wonderful Beast, right after this. We're back.
Hello.
We're here. Time for Rex Orange County.
Well, they actually pulled... So apparently they pulled out of a French TV show in protest over a Ku Klux Klan joke. It's ironic that they named themselves Rex Orange County, because if you know Orange County, they are heavy Republicans. And extremely right for the most part. And
yeah, I'm not saying the part of the Ku Klux Klan, but hail Costa Mesa. Anyways, the...
Huntington Beach is where it's at, to be honest. Costa Mesa, you get some libs in Costa Mesa, and then you go to Huntington Beach, and it's just...
Fill out our poll at audioface.show. Which part of Huntington Beach is the most anti-Semitic? Anyways, we'll... The thing about... They wanted to do a, the French... Which, by the way, French like public TV, which is kind of strange, but whatever. And they say the Europeans don't do free speech. But they were going to do a joke that related to the KKK. I'm going to say something kind of weird here. In defense of jokes about the KKK.
I don't give a shit. Go. I like joking about everything.
No, it's possible to make a really unoffensive joke about the KKK. On like that base alone, it's not necessarily that it was like a bad joke, per se.
Yeah.
But if it's like...
Does it say what the joke is?
It doesn't say anything about the joke itself, because I guess they didn't ultimately run with it. But ultimately they canceled the show because they just didn't want to be on the same show as that, which is okay for them.
It's
totally possible that Rex Orange County and like the band, they just saw KKK and went, no, yo, no go. We don't want any part of this.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Like it could have been a perfectly funny joke, like making fun of the KKK or being sort of subversive about that.
And then just nah, hard pass.
I kind of doubt that French people have the... like cultural context to do that, so I'm a little bit wary of them doing that. I mean, like, I don't know, but not a big deal for me. Let's talk about the curveball of this week, which was Calvin Johnson's A Beautiful, A Wonderful Beast.
They are, yeah, so this was our curveball because we looked at the list of albums. Obviously, we had Huevos Rancheros, and then I told him about Young the Giant. And then we were trying to find like a third album to do. And we saw, I've heard of Calvin Johnson before, because of some like indie shit or whatnot. He featured on a couple other things on Black Keys and a couple other stuff. So I go, okay, let's give this a try. The album cover looks like a really weird impressionist painting. So, and definitely, well, I wouldn't say too strange.
Production wise, instrumental.
Yeah, I say indie alternative, and the production of it was fan freaking tastic. Really, really great instrumentation, really strong album throughout. They had a couple like ethereal-ish songs that were pretty strong, some electronic stuff here or there, but everything worked together. The weirdest thing was the guy's voice. Sounds like a drunk Johnny Cash is the best way I could put it. So really deep, sounds like Johnny Cash, actually. So when you mix that with how the sound, the production of it, it doesn't mix well. His voice starts to stick out. Yeah. It was a bit much, but it wasn't not enjoyable because of it. It was just listening to the album, I go, okay, this is a bit strange, but we'll allow it, I guess.
You said junk Johnny Cash. I would go for more of Lou Reed on an ayahuasca trip, but either way, I think we're getting something to where, like, it's a distinctive part of the voice. And at best, like, yeah, it does invoke that, like, velvet underground Lou Reed sort of style, especially with the production and the music, which is really, really good. But at worst, it's just this kind of, okay, the lyrics don't make a lot of sense. Your vocals are very overpowering and strange. And kind of, when you have a voice that's that powerful, I guess, the way you use it is all that matters. Matters that much more, because then, like kind of what you said, Sean, it can kind of get clunky and seem out of place and, yeah, just get sort of distracting from what the music could, like, truthfully be. Like, would be better as. But no, there were good songs. I kind of like Wherefore Art Thou, even though the literally, like, his voice is partially the most annoying in that song, maybe. And what other songs are pretty good? Bubbles, Clouds, and Rainbows is low-key an Antifa soundtrack. Another Teardrop Falls is pretty good. But yeah, it's just very indie. And my little random dips into indie music this year, this is one of the better ones.
It's not bad, it's just different. It's definitely different. So, our Curveball of the Week, I quite liked it. I'll give it a solar plane with, like, some of the solar panels are starting to fall off.
It's an Airbus A320, gold standard, usual, like, Southwest Airlines.
Southwest Airlines? You know, no, I'll go JetBlue. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
This doesn't have the legroom.
No, you don't get, you just get normal JetBlue seating, you don't get extra room.
No, but JetBlue has, like, the best legroom in coach.
Oh, well, whatever.
Southwest is a little bit not as good. They didn't pay for this ad, I'm just saying, it's a fact.
Yeah, I know it is. I know, but I'm giving him more legroom. I'm giving him more legroom.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
The saga continues on TV.
Yes.
Wu-Tang Clan is getting a TV show. Or, like, on the one hand, yes, no one wants a Wu-Tang TV show. Why are these uncle rappers getting on TV? But on the other hand, at least these uncle rappers are on TV and not making more music. That's fine.
Okay. Damn. I like their song on Logic's album.
Yeah, but that was when they were doing a feature. Do you remember the last Wu-Tang album?
That's true. Super uncle rappy.
Yeah.
All right, Doom your features and become a producer.
Yeah, but like Wu-Tang can't produce.
No. I like them too, but that's not going to happen.
It's like, literally Wu-Tang producing is old man Brockhampton. Do you really want that?
Oops. So.
And lastly, because we like to end on an interesting note at times, whenever we can, Kalani is pregnant. With a baby girl.
Woo!
I mean, okay, so the reason why this is kind of significant, I'm not just putting this here randomly, is that Cardi B really did something interesting with during her entire biggest year of her career and then having a baby at the end. And so I think other artists are now going, oh shit, we can kind of do this. We can not like set apart a part of our lives that fulfills us for whatever reason. I don't get the whole child thing still personally. But you can do that and still have like a music career. Whereas for a lot of artists, it used to feel like it's a one or the other thing. So, you know, I think this is a good move for like feminism and all that shit.
Yay, more humans. Now just adopt. Seriously.
Can you be happy about anything?
Never. That's why I said yay at first. I was like, yay, good, cool.
Adopt. I mean, less about... I'm happy that this, like, a barrier that used to kind of be there for artists is now starting to be seen.
I get that. I think that's cool.
Okay, so be happy about that.
I'm happy about that, but...
But babies.
But babies. Adopt, dude. There's just too many humans on the planet. How many children are there that are up for adoption, dog? 300,000? 400,000?
Yeah, just like dogs. They're a bunch of dogs animals. And you think if I'm comparing babies to dogs, I will say the answer is yes. Now, Chun, thank you for joining me on Audio Face. This has been a great
episode. Me not being happy. Fuck, at least I have a goddamn heart. Jesus Christ.
Next week, I would argue that I care about animals more than children.
Oh, you that's not even an argument. You do.
Next week, we're going to be an interesting week. We're going to have Yoko Ono. That should be a blast.
Oh,
we're going to have Lil Yachty. That should be a blast.
We have Lil Boat, too.
Yep.
Why? I hate barge. Trap. Can we just stop with the fucking trap? Stop the hammering.
And a Khaled EP. That should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Nina Cherry, that should be good. Mo, or M, however, the zero with a line through it, whatever that is. And yes, don't forget to listen to the Kanye West episode. So we talk about all the Kanye stuff, so Sean doesn't have to.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can be found on the platform you don't care about and Instagram at SW Suarez. I am on Twitter at Dan from the Web and Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
No cheers?
No, no cheers.
Oh, wow. Okay. We need to restart that.
Yes.
We need to restart that. I'm so sorry. That was totally my fault.
Fucking A. I don't even know what to do about that.
Oh my god, wow.